Holding on Memo at Bays, the sixth line of the wide line. We started discussing the question. The Mishnah had mentioned that a person does chalitza with a woman. He's also to marry her close relatives. She's also to marry his. We started discussing the question, what about does that apply to shniyos? And we tried bringing a couple of proofs, pro and con, and so far nothing yet. So, Toshma, the Tani Rapriya, we learn in a braisa of Rapriya, Abba Mediva Torah, Abba Mediva Sefin. There's four people, there's four people who she won't be allowed to marry Minatora, and four that she won't be allowed to marry Midrabanan. Now, there's two different ways of understanding that. Rashi says what it means is like this. Forget about Chalutza for the moment. If she was his real wife, she would be also in four of his relatives Midaraisa and another four Midrabanan. Yeah, we're talking about immediate relatives, yeah. Other mafarshim explain that what it means, this Abba Mediva Torah of Abba Mediva Sefrim, is talking about the Chalutza. There's four of his relatives who are considered close relatives in Minatora that she's also in, and another four that are considered further relatives that are also Midrabanan. Or no, sorry. According to the other mafarshim, what it means is there's four relatives where she's already also, not by virtue of the fact of being a Chalutza, but just by virtue of the fact that she was married to his brother, which therefore makes her automatically also to his father and to his son, like we talked about yesterday, and another four that are only Medivrei Seferim that she's only also in because she's a chalutza. What are the four? Av uvnei, achiv uven achiv, Medivrei Torah. The four that are Minat Torah are the father, his son, his brother, and his son's brother. Those are all Medivrei Torah. Avi aviv, then you have his father's father, Vavi imay, and his mother's father, then Bnoi uven Bita, his son's son, or his daughter's son, Medivrei Seferim. Those would be Medivrei Seferim. And again, according to Rashi's explanation, what it means is that if she were his real wife, those would be also Midrabanan. Now that she's a Chalotza, they're also Midrabanan. And according to the other Mephoshim, what it means is that these four, she only became also in because she's a Chalotza. Had she not been a chalutza, she would only be also in the first four.
So the first generation only midoraisa up and down.
Yeah.
And all the others are midivrei sefrim.
Yeah. Basically. So let's go through some of the possibilities. Hello. So katani miyavi aviv. So one of the ones we had on the second list is his father's father. My lav mishum cholutz lachora. What are we saying? That she's also in him because she's also to marry him because of the chalutza. The point is, why would she be Osir because she's his son's daughter-in-law. The Mess's father, who is also the Yavam's father, she would be his actual daughter-in-law. She was married to his son. His father is a Shnia. So then you see you have a case of Shnias by Divrei, you have a case of Shnias by Chalutza. Why is she Osir? Why
son's father?
She was married to Reuven. Reuven died. Shimon has done chalitza with her.
Right.
We're saying that now she is also to marry Reuven and Shimon's grandfather Yitzchak. They have their father Yaakov and his father Yitzchak. So Yaakov, that's what we're saying. So the question is now, why would she be also to marry Yitzchak? Because she's Kalas Benoi. She's his son's daughter-in-law. His son Yaakov and his daughter-in-law. So then, that's only a shnia, and so you see that there is shnia by chalutza. The answer is loy mishum misna to have yelakalas b'noi. No, you don't even need that. There's just the fact that she was married to the fact that she was married to the person who's now dead, to Reuven, who therefore, yeah, she already at that point when she married Reuven, even before he died, she was already also to Yitzchak as a shnia.
Right.
The fact that she did chalutza with Shimon doesn't add anything to that issur. So she's not also because of the chalitza to Yitzchak. She's also because she was originally married to Reuven.
We're asking the shnius.
We're asking: is there any new issue of shnius that's gained by the chalitza? So far, we don't have that.
So far, we don't.
Yeah. Tashma, we're on about 10 lines from the 10th line of the wide line. The line begins Misna. Tashma, Avi Imai. We had another one on the Chiyah's list. Is Avi Imai his mother's father? Again, my lav mishum cholot l'chora. Why should he be usher to the mother's father l'chora? Because of the chalitza to have yelakalas bita. Because then she's the daughter-in-law of his daughter, which again is only usher midrabanan. And so again, you see that shnius. We're trying to discuss the issue whether shnius are usher when it comes to chalitza. And again, the answer
chalitza add more.
Does chalitza add more? Yeah. And again, the answer was loy. Mishum misna to have the makalas bitoy. No, again, she was previously married to Reuven, and therefore on that grounds alone, she was already kalas bitoy. She was ready a shnia at that point. The Aruch HaNer explains why the Gemara is going through this. Like each one, the Gemara has a reason to think that each one is each of the cases is a little more of a chiddush than the previous one. Like maybe the previous one, well, she only became also because of the original marriage. Maybe in the next case, you could, you know, there is a reason to think that maybe she becomes more also because of the chalitza. But the Gemara keeps on shooting those down. Toshma, come, let's bring another one. Toshma, who ben benoy. We had one of the ones on Rukhiya's first list was that she or no, this is also on his second list, that she's also ben benoy, the grandson of the one who did chalitza. So here you have, till now we were going upward from Reuven and Shimon, and fine, Reuven and Shimon have the same father, obviously, so they have the same grandfather. So obviously, if she was also because of one, she's also because of the other. Now let's go downward. From Shimon, we're saying she's also to marry Shimon's grandson. My love, Mishum Cholitz. Now, Lachora, why should she be also to him? Only because of the Chalitza. Because she is now the Chalitza of his father's father.
She didn't have that Isur when she wasn't a Chalitza.
The Lachora, that's what we're assuming. She wouldn't have been necessarily also to Shimon's grandson beforehand because she wasn't married to Shimon. Now that she's a Chalitza, we're arguing that she's considered like a Grusha of Shimon, Midrabanan, and therefore we would say that therefore his grandson, who a grandson itself is only a Shnia. And now we're saying it's also, so we see that the Roshniyah is by Chalotza. The answer is no. Loi, Mishum Misna, do you have an Eshes Achi Avi Aviv? No, you can still point out, there is the fact that originally when she was married to Reuven, at that point she was already also to Shimon's grandson. Because to Shimon's grandson, she's his father's father's brother's wife. Which means, Atara, your father's brother's wife is an erva. Midrabanan, also your grandfather's brother's wife, your great aunt. So there you go. She was already a shnia at the time when she was married to Reuven. So yeah, she's not becoming more also to Shimon's grandson because of the chalitza. She's also from beforehand because she was married to Reuven.
Father's father's brother's wife.
Yeah. The question is, but Amema holds that case is mutter. Amema holds that a person is allowed to marry his great aunt. We learned back in the second parak. We mentioned that yesterday also. And the answer is Amema mukim lo mishum chaylet. Okay, Amema will have to say that yes, now she became author only because of the chalitza. The kasava gazu shnias b'chalitza. So Amema, fine. We see that Amema now holds that there's shnias b'chalitza. It doesn't mean that everybody else would agree to that. Now, yesterday when we had this, when we brought this thing from our Maimar, we said that the Mishnah, when it said ben b'noi, didn't mean the grandson of the cholitz, rather it meant the grandson of the father of the cholitz, because we started off the list with Aviv, and we said ben b'noi then means the son of one of his other sons. So then there's no question. She's his aunt. Here, the Gemara can't use that answer for a couple of reasons. One of them because, first of all, this ben b'noi is on Rukhiya's list that are only also medivrei sofrim, medrabanan. If it's an aunt, she's also medaraisa. Second of all, because in the Mishnah, the list started off with Aviv. So you could say, fine, ben b'noi is referring back to Aviv. Rukhiya's list didn't start with that. Rukhiya's list of four that are medrabanan started with Avi Aviv. You can't say that ben b'noi means his grandson, because then that's just another one of the brothers. Right. Okay, so we've proved that according to our Meimar, there are Shnias by Chalutza. What about everybody else? Toshma or Ben Bitoy. The last one on Rukhiya's list is that that she's not allowed to marry Chalutz's daughter's son, his grandson from his daughter. Again, my love, Mishum Cholitz, the Havila Esha Tavi Imo, Lechura, why should she be Osir at that point? Because of the Cholitz, because she is the wife or the ex-wife now of his mother's father, which is only a Shnia. So you see, there are Shnias by Cholitz.
She's the ex-wife or he?
If she had actually been married to Shimon, if she'd ever actually been married to Shimon, there's no question that under the rules of Shnias, she would be Osir to Shimon's grandson. His daughter's daughter or his son's daughter, doesn't matter. Now that we're saying she's a chalutza, she was never actually married to Shimon, but he did chalutza with her. Midrabanan were considering her like a grusha, and so lechora though. But beforehand, if she had never been involved with Shimon, if she had only been married to Reuven, and let's say Reuven had kids, and therefore there's no zika in the first place, lechora she wouldn't be also Shimon's grandson on that ground. So therefore we see it. So therefore we have a proof. Therefore we have a proof that she only becomes Osir in a Shania because of Chalutza.
At least in this instance.
That's what we're asking. And the answer is, Loi Mishum Misna, no. You could again say that she was Osir from beforehand because of the dead brother who she was married to previously. Because she is his mother's father's brother's wife. Just like we said before, father's father's brother's wife, that's also according to everybody else, although Mutter according to Amemar, L'chore here also, then it's the same kind of thing. You just substitute a mother for a father. The question is, well, Gabi Shnias to Erva like Gazru, but we see there's no such Zera by the Shnias of even a real Erva. When it comes to a father's father's brother's wife, we said Amemar says it's kosher, everybody else says no good. By a mother's father's brother's wife, there's no question. Everybody says it's Mutter, a great aunt from that side. So we're back to why would this woman be usher to Shimon's daughter's son? That you have to say. That's a new issur that came about because of the chalitza. Because while she was married to Reuven, if Reuven at that point had just divorced her, let's say, or Reuven had died with children or whatever, then yes, she would be mutter to Shimon's daughter's son. Because there we're not gozer those shnias, even by a real Arab, let alone over here. So therefore, that proves Shmamina Gazru Shnias by Chalutza. Okay, Shmamina, that proves it. That's the final proof. So there are Shnias by Chalutza.
Just for the mother's father's father's wife.
Well, that's one example, but it means that all the other regular Shnias that would apply, all the 16 or so Shnias that we had in the second parak that apply to a regular Erva, also apply Midrabanan to a Chalutza.
And the Orasa.
Shnias by definition are Midrabanan.
Why Shnias just?
Perhaps just because, Then the Mishnah said Mutar Adam, that a person is allowed. The Mishnah had said that a person is allowed to marry the relative of the tzara of his chalutza, but he's also to marry the tzara of the relative of his chalutza. So before we get into relatives, here the Gemara is first going to talk about the tzara of the chalutza herself. So classic case, you have Shimon was married to two wives. Reuven does chalutza with one of them. Reuven, the brother, does chalitza with one of them. He didn't do chalitza with the other one. She's potter from Yibum and chalitza now because he only needs one to potter the other. What happens, though, if he goes and marries her? If he goes and marries the tzara? There's no question. If he goes and marries the chalitza herself, it's only an isur lav. Asher lo yivne, we said, because we had previously a machlokes from Yechanan and Rish Lakish on this topic. So the Gemara is going to bring it in again now. But the simple case that a person does chalitza with one wife, then that wife is only also to him under a lav, asher lo yivne. But now we're going to talk about the other wife, the one that he didn't do chalitza with. What happens if he marries her?
Rightfully, we should have married her because
the guilt. If he'd done that, then there'd be no question, right? Amr of Turi Bakisna, Amr Shmuel, Habal, Tzara's Chalutza, Havlad Mamzer. If somebody has relations with the Tzara of the Chalutza, then the child from that will be a Mamzer. My timer.
He did Chalutza with the one,
but now he goes and marries the other.
The other one's off the hook.
Right. Well, both of them really are off the hook.
The problem is like this.
Both of them were also to him originally as Eishes Achim, which is an Issur Karis. One that we did chalitza to. So now, fine, we said the chalitza takes away the issur karis and downgrades to an issur lav. Okay, just by shelo yivne. But we're saying the other one, the issur was never mutter. My time of the issur akaima. Why is that? Because she retains her original issur. Originally she was also as a chalitza achiv, and here he is also. Midaraisa, yeah. We learned before, actually, that Shmuel holds that yesh zika. This is related to that also. That only if we say yesh zika, Is there this issue? Because otherwise, if ain't zika, then why is you, then why is she also as Eishes Achiv? Amar Rav Yosef asked only because Shmuel holds yesh zika. If there was a zika, the moment that his brother died, there was a zika to either one of them. So fine, he did chalitza with one, that took off the zika with her. But the other one still there's no zika still. But then there's still the Eishes Achiv. Amr of Yosef, Afanan Nami Tanena, in fact, we see that in our Mishnah. Mutter Adam Bekroi Vassaras Chalutzase. We say that a person is allowed to marry the relative of the Tzara of his Chalutza. What does that mean? If you say that the Tzara is outside, meaning that she's not, that, that, meaning that, 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 no, meaning in other words that she still keeps her original Isser. In other words, there's two different ways of looking at it. You can look at it when the brother does chalitza with one of the wives, you can say he's just doing it with her. The other one essentially still retains her Isser Eshesach. She's allowed to go marry whoever she wants now. Fine, the chalitza has taken care of that, but she still retains her Isser Eshesach. As opposed to, you could say that when he does the chalitza with one of the wives, in effect, she is acting as a shlucha for the other wife, for the tzara as well. And in that case, her chalitza should downgrade the Isser for the tzara as well.
Relav,
yeah. So if you say that the
tzara... Also, at the same time, it also downgrades her from being allowed to marry the relatives of the... Just when it went through the Gemara, you know, all the...
Right, yeah. So if you say that Sarah is outside, meaning that she's outside of this whole thing of chalitza, therefore she still keeps this original iser mishum hachi mutar ba'achosa. Well, that's why he's allowed to marry her sister. It's not considered achos chalitza. We know that midrabanan now has to marry achos chalitza. So this Sarah is not a chalitza. So therefore, fine, no problem. We see that he's allowed to marry her sister.
No love.
No, there's no love. L'chatchila, he's allowed to marry. The chalutza herself is the chalutza herself. If he marries her, there's a lav.
Right.
The tzara if he marries her, we're saying he's chayiv karis. We're saying the tzara's sister, though, he would be able to marry. That's called tzara. That's called kloivas tzara's chalutzase. The relative of the tzara of his sister.
That wouldn't be considered a married
No, because that's the thing. That's what we're saying. That's the point. If we say that when he did chalitza with Rachel, that he did chalitza with Rachel, then Sarah, the other wife, is completely out of the picture. The chalitza had no effect on her. Well, then in that case, her sister is not a sister of a chalitza. But if you say that the Sarah herself is considered as if she had chalitza as well, if you were to say that the chalitza with one is in effect she's doing it as shlichus on behalf of the other one, then am I mutter? Why would she be mutter? She would be effectively the sister of a chalitza. Not that she herself did chalitza, but at least the chalitza was done sort of on her behalf. The fact that we see that not, the fact that we're saying that you're allowed to marry the sister of the Sarah of the chalitza shows that the chalitza is completely out of the picture. She's abroi, she's outside, and therefore, yes, the chalitza has no effect on her whatsoever. She still stays in the Isser of Eishes Achiv, which is Chayiv Karis, but because of that, her sister, on the other hand, is completely mutter, even Lachatchila. Yes. The question is, Lema Tevi Tiruv de Rabbi Yochanan, can we say that this whole thing is an upschlag of Rabbi Yochanan? Da'ama bein hu bein achin ein chayavan layal chalitza karis layal sarata karis. He said, we had a machlokes back in the first parak, between him and Rish Lakish, that when you do chalitza with one of the wives, both that brother himself and all the other brothers are not chayav karis for the chalitza herself or for her tzara. Here you're saying the Mishnah evidently is implying that you are chayav karis for the tzara, because the tzara herself, we just said, is avroi. She's outside of this whole chalitza procedure. According to Rabbi Yochanan, she's not. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the chalitza that you did with one wife has an effect on the other.
Regardless of who the other wife is.
Yeah, we're talking about. Yeah, there's no relationship between them necessarily, no. Except that they were tzaras. The answer is, yes, so that seems to contradict Rabbi Yochanan. Amalar Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan can answer, but kiss for us. What are you b'chlal thinking? You think that this proof from the Mishnah is really a proof? How could it be that you could be chayev karis for? How could it be that you could be chayev for karis for anything having to do with a chalutza anyway? Do you think that the whole thing about not marrying the sister of the chalutza is daraisa? Rish Lakish says on the next amud that Rebbe taught over here the achos grusha medivet Torah, achos chalutza medivet Sofrim. That to marry your grusha's sister is an isur daraisa. The Torah says v'isha l'chos alisikach, as long as the first wife is alive. But the achos chalutza is only midrabanan.
That's a machlokes.
No, everybody agrees to that. Well, not really everybody. We're gonna have on Memdala. There is a day. There is gonna be. We'll have later. Rabbi Akiva holds that achos chalutza is midaraisa. But we'll get to that later. But according to Rebbe, according to the Mishnayos that we have, then achos chalutza is only midrabanan. So if the whole thing of achos chalutza is only the rabbanan anyway, then what does that have to do with? So why are we saying because you're allowed to marry the sister, therefore that proves that Sarah herself is chayav karis. You're only usher in the sister to begin with, midrabanan. How does that have any bearing on the issue of karis? How does that have any bearing on the issue of whether the Sarah herself is also daraisa?
No, Rabbanan is a karis.
So therefore, so there's no proof against Rabbi Yochanan over here, because the proof that Rabbi Yochanan, not Rabbi Yochanan, the proof that Rabbi Yosef wanted to bring from the words of the Mishnah is not really all that strong a proof. Like, Maishnah Hai, what's the difference between one and the other? We say in the Mishnah that Tzoras Tzoras Chalutzase is Mutter, but Tzoras Tzoras Chalutzase is Aser. Which again, so the two cases are respectively. You did chalitza with a woman. You have her tzara, and her tzara has a sister. We're saying you're allowed to marry that sister, but the other way around, not. We're saying that you're not allowed to marry the tzara of the relative of your chalitza. So you did chalitza with a woman. You did chalitza with a woman. She has a relative who's married to somebody else along with a tzara. She has a sister, let's say, who's married to somebody else. Not only are you also in that sister, because achos chalutza, you're even also in the tzara of that sister. What's the difference? The answer is hach to azla b'hadala beidina, gazru b'urabanan. The difference is the one who goes along with the woman to beis din. Those are the ones that the rabbanan made a gzera on. Namely, Rashi explains, when you have a woman goes to beis din for chalutza, typically she'll go along with one of her relatives, such as her sister. Now, people in those days, they didn't necessarily do chalitza with such a fanfare as they do nowadays. So therefore, afterwards, people are not necessarily going to be sure which one did chalitza. Which sister? Yeah. Everybody else see that two women walked into Beis Din to do chalitza. The people on the bystanders on the street don't know which one actually did chalitza. If you go and marry the tzara of the sister, then people are going to think that it was the tzara of your own chalutza, and the tzara of your own chalutza. We just wanted to say you're chayiv karis for. So therefore we don't want to do that. As opposed to haydol ozel b'hadol beidina, as opposed to the other case kleva tzara chalutzase, where you have the chalutza herself, you have her tzara who didn't go to Beis Din at all, because only the one woman goes to Beis Din for Chalitza, and naturally the Tzara's sister, of course, didn't go, she's B'chlal not in the picture, then there's no reason to be Gozer on her. Well, Gozer B'ur Rabbanan. She takes her sister, so fine, you'll still be Osir in Achoy's Chalutzase, but we don't have to go so far as to Asir her Tzara's sister, because her Tzara is not the one who had Chalitza anyway.
Nobody will confuse the Tzara's sister.
That's how Rashi explains that. That's how Rashi explains this whole thing. Tosfos and a bunch of other Rishonim have a big problem with this whole explanation about versus Tzoras Krovas. In particular, they hold that the Isser of Tzoras Krovas Chalutzase is not across the board. It's only like we had cases in the previous parak, for example, when you had two sisters who are married to two brothers. And then to two out of three brothers, and then you have where one of them becomes Osir as Achos Ishtoi, then the other one becomes Osir as Tzoras.
According to Tosfos
and any other Meforshim, it's only in that kind of case. Only when you have a situation like that. Not when you have that the relative is married to an unrelated man. It would have to be that the relative herself was married to one of the brothers. So therefore Tosfos has a different explanation of these last two lines over here, the Maishnah Hai. They explain that this is a continuation of the previous discussion. We said before that there's a difference between the chalutza herself versus her tzara, that one is a lav and the other one we wanted to say is chayv karis. Or at least we wanted to say in the end, maybe not chayv karis, but at least also midrabanan. What's the difference? Why is one mutter and why is one only a lav and one not? And the answer is because the chalutza herself is the one who went to Beis Din, the other one is not. It is the one who went to Beis Din for the chalutza. You're going to need the next volume now. Oh, okay, yeah. Mishnah says,
what's the halacha? What's the
halacha is like what it says in the Mishnah, that you're allowed krevas saras chalutzase and asu and saras krevas chalutzase. Whether the halacha is like Rashi or Tosfos is shitta, that I don't know. Mishnah says, "Acholitz liyavimdo." Someone does chalitza with the yavama, v'nasa achiv es achoisa. Then his brother went and married her sister, umes, and then this brother dies. So now you have the sister of your chalitza is coming up for yibum. Chalitza, v'leimis yavemis. So she needs to do chalitza, not yibum. You can't do yibum with her because midrabanan, you're also an achois chalitza. So you can't pater her completely because midaraisa, there's a zika. And therefore you have to do chalitza. So okay, let's find the diagram. Anyway. Reuben died. Rachel is up for Yibum. Rachel does chalitza with Shimon. Meanwhile, Levi went and married Leah, who is Rachel's sister. Levi died.
Levi's another brother.
Levi's another brother. Yeah, they're all the same color for that reason. And these two are sisters. Levi died. Now his wife, who is Rachel's sister, is up for Yibum. The problem is she's achos chalitzasei. He did chalitza with Rachel. He did chalitza with Rachel, and this is her sister.
No,
Shimon was never married to either one of them. Shimon only did chalitza with Rachel.
So if
Shimon had done yibum with Rachel, then Bechal Levi's wife would be potter because she'd be achos ishta. But since he did chalitza instead, midrabanan that put Leah off limits, but midaraisa she'd still be okay. So the usual thing, then she needs chalitza, not yibum. So he can't marry her midrabanan. V'chein ha-magarish es ishtoi. Similarly, a person divorces his wife. V'nasa achav es achoisa. And then his brother marries her sister, umeis. And then the brother dies. Then this woman, his wife, is potter. In other words, if we replace the same case over here, if we replace chalitza with gerishin, if we say there was no Reuven over there, there was Stam fine, let's say, you know, we have just two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven divorced his wife. Shimon married Leah. Reuben divorced his wife. Shimon married Leah. Shimon died. Reuben, midaraisa, can't marry Leah because she's achos grushasei. As long as Rachel is alive, then Leah is off limits to him. So therefore, she's potter completely because she'd be an erva to him. No, he doesn't have to do anything because she's an erva.
In the previous case,
he would have to do chalitza. That's what I was going to ask about the fact that we said, what do we mean v'chein? How is it similar? They seem like two different cases. In the one case, she needs chalitza, and in the other case, she doesn't need anything. So we'll get to that. Another case, shemeres yavam shekidesh achav es achoisa. If you have a shemeres yavam, this woman who's waiting for yibum, his brother is mekadesh her sister. So here, a shemeres yavam, you have that Reuben dies, Rachel is a shemeres yavam to Shimon and to Levi. Meanwhile, Levi, ignoring the fact that there is possibly a zika between Rachel and him, because Rachel, in theory, could end up marrying him, he goes and is mekadesh her sister, achois skukasei. She's the sister of his skuka.
Right.
What do we do? Mishum Rabbi, we had this earlier in the Masechta. Also, Mishum Rabbi Yehudim and Veseira Amru, Omrim Loi, we tell him like this, Hamtein, wait, ad sheyasa achicha maisa, until your brother does something or other. Takes action. Whichever brother. Shimon in this case, yes. Meaning, in other words,
until the brother does Yibum or Chalitza.
Right, in other words, because once Shimon does Yibum or Chalitza, then fine. Then Leah will be allowed to marry Leah. As we said, the other brothers are also to the Chalitza herself, but they're allowed to the Chalitza's sister.
And if he
We learned, by the way, when we learned this case earlier, Tosfos pointed out the reason why we tell him to wait is because anyway he only did kiddushin. If he had actually done nisuin, even though that's illegal also, because also levatal mitzvah yivamin, we learned you're not allowed to explicitly go and do something to be levatal the mitzvah. If he married her already, we're not going to force them to separate until Shimon does something because they're already married. And Mashenkin, if he only did kiddushin anyway, then we tell him wait up. Now
we said that we see that doing is stronger than nisuin in a way.
Well. No, when he does Yibum, even though it's a question of Zika, right? We said by the way over there that this Mishnah can more easily be understood according to the opinion Ein Zika, because if Yesh Zika, then if Yesh, well, actually no, because it's more readily understandable if Yesh Zika. That's why there's a problem with the Chayitz Kukasei. Otherwise, if Ein Zika, then what's the problem in the first place? Then we said the problem would be only the Alta Levata Mitzvah Yivamin. the fact that he's being mevatel the mishnah
b'yadayim.
Right, so there's two possibilities. We could understand our Mishnah based on the principle yesh zika, and therefore he shouldn't have done kiddushin with her in the first place. But we'll just make him wait, right? Or ain zika, but still also levatal mitzvah yivam, and he shouldn't have been mevatal it by doing kiddushin. Right, that's what the Mishnah continues. Chalat la'achiv aykansa. If Shimon now does chalitza uyivum, no problem. Yichnas is ishtay. Then the Levi will be allowed to get married. On the other hand, and also Meitza Yivama, what happens if the Yivama dies, the Rachel dies before anything happens, also Yichnes is Ishtoi, and also Levi is allowed to marry his wife. Same reason, then there's no issue anymore. On the other hand, Metz Yavam, what happens if Shimon, the Yavam, dies, now you have a problem. The only one who can do Yivam now is Levi. So therefore, and you have a problem. The problem is that you can't say that Rachel
after Levi.
Well, so that's the thing. Again, if Levi had married Leah, or even if he had done kedushin before any of this started happening, then it wouldn't be an issue. Of course, Rachel would be off limits to him because she's a chalis ishtay. Then she'd be potter completely. But here, where he only was mekadesh her when there was zika already, then if Shimon dies and Levi now is the only one who's going to be able to do yibum. Then he loses both of them. He's going to have to give a get to Leah to break the kedushin, and he's going to have to do chalitza with Rachel. The last case is that Shimon himself dies. Reuven died, and therefore Rachel was up for Yavam. And now Shimon, the Yavam, dies. Levi, who was the one that was going to do Shimon.
Right.
So that's the problem now. You're only left with Levi. Levi was mekadesh Leah.
Right.
Levi was Mekadish Leah, and therefore, but now the problem is Leah becomes a Chayis Tzukase. Well, all this time she was a Chayis Tzukase, but fine, at least we say we'll let him wait until we see what happens with the Zika. He has no choice. The Zika definitely goes to him. So therefore, his wife Leah, his engaged, becomes also to him, and Rachel is also to him. So you can't marry either one. You can't marry two sisters, yeah. Yishal a Chayis Tzukase Zika. So therefore he loses that. So there, yeah.
Next time you'll know.
So the Gemara asks, "My v'chein." What do you mean v'chein? What do you mean this comparison of the case of chalitza or the case of gerushin? One case we're saying you have to do chalitza, and the other case we're saying you're potter. Ema avol hamagarish. Okay, you have to correct it. The wording, not v'chein, but avol. However, somebody who divorces his wife and his brother marries her sister, then she's potter because she's an heir.
V'chein, change it to avol.
So actually, some mafarshim say that v'chein can also mean like indeed. Kain b'nei slav, correct. It's correct that hamagarish is ishtay, etc. But avol sometimes can also mean indeed. For example, when Yosef's brothers in Parshas Miketz say to each other, avol Hashem manachnu, they don't mean but we're guilty. In truth, really, we are guilty. You know that we didn't save Yosef all those years ago. Yeah. Amar Ishlokish can Shana Rebbe in connection with this Mishnah, Rebbe taught. That to marry your grusha's sister is also deraita. That's why the Mishnah is saying that this sister is completely potter because she'd be an erva. Achos chalutza is only midrabanan, and that's why she needs chalitza.
Why do we come and say this now?
Because in this, sometimes we find the Gemara uses this expression in connection with a certain Mishnah. Rebbe explained to his Talmidim this basic principle. Then the Mishnah continues to Meres Yavam Shekidish Chola. We have these different permutations of the case where one of the brothers was Mekadish, the Shemeres Yavam's sister. Now, so we went through three of the possibilities. What about a fourth possibility? What if, first of all, Amar Shmuel, Halacha could Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. The Halacha is indeed like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. We don't force them to break up the marriage. On the other hand, we tell them, wait, we don't do the Nisurin until we actually settle the situation. Maybe. Eventually, Shimon is going to have to do something, right? Iboilahu. Now they had a question. Mesa Ishtay Ma'ubivimtoi. We went through the three of the possible cases so far. We said that Shimon did Chalitza Yibum with Rachel, like he was supposed to. We said that Shimon died. Or we said that Shimon did Chalitza, or he did Yibum, or we said that Rachel the Yavama died. How about the other way around? If Leah dies, If Leia dies, so let's consider. When Rachel became a Shemeres Yavam, when she was not called a Yavam, she was also to Levi because she's Achos Ishtoi from the point of view of the tradition. On the other hand, if the sister dies, maybe now Rachel goes back to being Mutter at the Yavama. Rachel is the original Yavama.
But the father brother was took her in or not?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. No, let's say he did. Shimon hadn't done anything yet. Shimon hadn't done anything. We're telling Levi, wait with marrying Leah until you see what develops. Meanwhile, Rachel dies. We said if Shimon dies, then Levi is stuck. What happens if it's dead Rachel dies? Do we say that? Or not Rachel, sorry, if Leah dies. If Leah, his Mekudeshes dies. Does Rachel go back to being Mutter to him? Could Levi do Yibum with Rachel if he wanted? The question is, because she was originally Mutter, then she became Osir when he was Mekadosh with sister. Now she's Mutter again. That's the question.
Depends if you say yes.
That's what we're going to get into. If his wife died, is he allowed to marry the Yavama? So Rav and Rachanina da Amitavayu. So on the one hand, Rav and Rachanina both say Meisa Ishtei Mutter Bivim. So that yes, he will be allowed to marry the Yavama. On the other hand, Shmuel Veravasi da Amitavayu Meisa Ishtei Osir Bivim. So they say that he's Osir. Amar Rav, my time is the Rav. So what's Rav's reason? Mishum da Havoy Yavama Shohutra Benesra Vachozer Vachutra. She was Eva. This is a case where she was Mutter at the beginning, then she became Osir, now she's Mutter again, and she goes back to her original Hector. We have this concept in the previous parak.
According to Rav, didn't you?
According to Shmuel, not. But actually, there's an interesting thing they brought in the footnotes to the Ot Scroll Gemara. They brought a long explanation from the Rashba that he says when we say Tachzor La'Hetera HaRishon, actually doesn't mean that he can be Miyabim her. What it means is she goes back to as if she was never married to Reuben, meaning he can marry her just as a regular thing of Nisurin, but not as Yibum. Nobody else agrees with the Rashba on that. Everybody asks everybody jumps all over him with a whole bunch of questions. But that's his shitta over here. The taxa, that terorishin means it really is a real chiddush. Yeah.
He says it's a terorishin means
meaning as if she was never married, as if not yibum, but regular married. Yeah, as if she was a pnu. Yeah.
Nobody agrees with that.
Apparently not. Masiv Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna asks, what are you talking about? We learned previously in Mishnah, this is one of the brides, actually. Gimel Achin, Beis Nisuin, Beis Achayis, if you have three brothers, of which two of them are married to two sisters, the Echad Mufna, and one of them is unmarried.
Available.
It's available. Mes Echad, we said it doesn't really matter if he's married or not, just the point is that for our purposes it doesn't really matter. Mes Echad Mibali Achayis, we said if one of the men who is married to one of the sisters, so Reuven dies, and the Mufna Levi does Mimer with Rachel. Not yet full Yibum, just Mimer. Then his second brother, Shimon, dies.
Right.
So now Levi is left alone, but now you have two sisters and then his wife dies. So if you had the two sisters were off, then we'd say you have to do chalitza with one or possibly both of them because each of them is a chalitza to the other.
He's engaged to one of them.
So we said that Mimer is according to Basilo, Mimer is not enough to accomplish anything. At best, it accomplishes something with Rabbanan.
You don't say that you stick it to Mimer one, the one that you did.
Because you have two sisters over here in Midaraisa. Since Midaraisa, two sisters are also when you're married to one of them. Then, however you look at it, if you say that the Mimer makes her his wife, then the other one is his wife's sister. Then the other one is his wife's sister. And but we don't really say that because we said that the Mimer is only effective with Rabbanan, and therefore. Therefore, both of them end up being also to him.
Well, you can't do even with one of them.
No, you can't do even with either of them, because each one is a sister of the other. But the one wrinkle is, we said that
Achak. Was married before he was married.
No, this is Levi. He was never married. No, he was never married yet. If he did Yibum with one of them, and then Shimon dies, sure, there's no problem. Then Shimon's wife, in fact, is completely potter. But because he only did Mimer at that point, that Mimer is not strong enough. We said according to the Shammai, maybe it's strong enough to push away Leah out of contention, but according to Bittil or not, both of them still have a Zika Midaraisa, and they're both sisters. You have each one is a Chos Kukasei, and therefore you can't do even with either of them. Okay. You have two brothers married to two sisters, and then you have one more brother. One of the
two brothers and one that's available.
Yeah. One of the brothers died. At that point, his wife, Rachel, is Naflo v'Yivum. She becomes a Shemeret Yavam. Suppose now that Levi, now let's just to clarify, suppose that Levi at that point had done Yibum with her.
Levi is one of the brothers.
Levi is the unmarried
third
brother,
unmarried
the third brother. Suppose that Levi had done Maimer with her at that point, and not Maimer, suppose he had done real Yibum with her at that point, then there wouldn't be an issue. If later on Shimon dies, Leah is a Chosishtoi, and then therefore she's father. She'd be an Erev. The problem is he really only did Maimer. Then Shimon dies, so now you have two women who are Zokuk to Yibum with him. So both of them are chos kukase.
Right. Is that the problem?
Therefore, both of them are also to him. Yeah. Now, the one difference is, though, what happens if Leah dies?
Wait a minute. If he's married one, what's the problem?
If he's already married to one, yes. If he marries one, but here he only did Mimer.
Yeah, but let's
say the
two sisters available there. What's wrong?
Let's finish.
No.
How much time do you jump in? And
yeah, really.
No. Yeah, this third brother was never married either one. Anybody, right?
But he did Mimer with Rachel.
Right. So he did Mimer with one of them. So
let's put it this way. Suppose he hadn't done Mimer with any of them.
Right.
There would also be a problem. Each one is Zokuk, but is also the sister of a Skuka. And therefore, that would already be a problem. The fact that he did Mimer with one of them doesn't help us.
So we don't say like we before push away the problem with Kaska with this problem which is a button and do give him, which is a do the bigness.
No, because he can still do chalitza instead.
Both of them.
Okay, but yeah, do chalitza, but at least something's getting accomplished. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. The wrinkle is that then what happens, v'achakach meisa ishtei achrav, and then Shimon's wife also dies. So lechora now Rachel goes back to being mutter. After Shimon dies, Leah dies. As long as Leah was alive, you have a problem. Each one is a chos kukase. Once Leah dies, then Mechura Rachel goes back to being mutter.
Because only one mutter.
And we say Yivam. We say that she can only do chalitza, not yibum.
That's
the question. V'amai. According to Rav, why would that be? This is exactly a case. She was originally mutter because when she died, when Reuven died, rather, Rachel was mutter to Yibum because at that point Shimon was still alive. There's no issue of achos kukase. Then she became also when Shimon died. Then she became mutter again when Levi died, when Leah died. And yet we say she doesn't go back to her original heter. Levi has to do chalitza with her. Why? According to Rav, he should be allowed to do it. According to Shmuel, this makes sense. According to Rav, what's going on over here? Ishtik. So, Rava was quiet. He couldn't think of an answer. Levasa de Nafak, after Rav Humnuna leaves, Amar, Rava says to himself, Amayla, Amritlay, why didn't I, you know what, I should have told him, Rav Elazar, that right goes according to Rav Elazar. The Amar Kivin Sha'am the Olav Shah Achasbe. So he says, we had this earlier. The main Mishnah where it's going to be discussed is towards the end of the Masechta, that once she was also for even one moment, Nesra all of our lamas, then she becomes also forever. So in that case, then this Braitha could be according to Rabbi Elazar, not necessarily. Is it according to the Alpi Halacha? On the other hand, Hadar Amar, then Rava rethought to himself, no, wait a minute. You know when Rabbi Elazar is talking about is the case where she wasn't even suitable for Yibum at the time of Nefila. The case that Rabbi Elazar talks about is a case like this. You have Reuven was originally married to Sarah, then he divorced her, which now she's also to Shimon as Grusha Sachiv. Then Reuven remarries Sarah.
Same wife,
and then Reuven dies. According to Tana Kama, fine. Shimon can do Yibum with Sarah, no problem. She was married to Reuven when he died. That's it. She's mutter. According to Rabbi Elazar, no. She was also to him for a period of time because during the time when she was divorced, before she was remarried, she was also as Eishes Achiv. The fact that he remarried her doesn't take away that issue. So first, Rabbi thought to himself that I could have told him I'm known as Bryce, as we just quoted about the three brothers and the two sisters, according to Rabbi Elazar. Now he's realizing, no, the difference is, Rabbi Elazar is talking about in that case, when she's not at the moment of Nefila, when Reuven dies, already Rabbi Elazar says she's not shayach to him, because she's already also at that point from Eishes Achiv, because at one point she was a Grusha, and the fact that she was remarried doesn't take that away. But in our case, she was mutter at the beginning. Who says Rabbi Elazar would hold the same thing if she was Roy at the time of Nefila, like in our case over here with the three brothers, where at the time Reuven died, yes, Rachel was perfectly available for Yibum.
Yes, as a matter of fact, he did.
He did Maimer.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
Yeah. Hadar Omar, then Rava further thought to himself, Ein. You know what? Yes, Rabbi Elazar would hold that in either case, if there's Nesra Olav Shah Achas, doesn't matter whether it was Bishap Nefila or sometime after it, nevertheless, then she still stays Osir. Vahotanya, and in fact, thus we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Mesi Yivimte Mutabishta, if the Yavama dies, then Levi will be allowed to marry his wife, the one who is Makadesh in our Mishnah. Mesi Ishtai, on the other hand, if his wife dies, Osi Yavama, Chalitza, Tulemis Yavamis, then the Yavama is going to have to do Chalitza. Obviously, because she's also, maybe she's also the Drabanan. But whereas if we said Tachto Letero Rishin, she would be able to do Yibum. The fact that we're saying that she has to do Chalitza shows that Rabbi Elazar holds. Even in that case, then she still, once she was also at any time during the process. Okay, the question is, Lema Shmuel v'Rav Asi Damik Rabbi Elazar. In that case, you're telling me that Shmuel and Rav Asi hold like Rabbi Elazar. The halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar. We would rather want to say that they're saying according to the Tanakhama, which is the halacha. The answer is through the Tema Kirabbanon. You could even say that they agree with the Rabbanon because Ad Kam like Kamifli Kirabbanon Alei the Rabbi Elazar Ela Mishum Duna Filim Va'Elach Lo Mitzar Alayu. The difference is in that case of the woman who was divorced and then remarried. The Chachamim are saying the fact is from the time of Nefila and on. From when she became a Shemeres Yavam, she never was Osir. Yeah, she was married. She was Osir at some point earlier when she was in this Gaddish last year. But who cares about that? At the time when she became a Shemeres Yavam, from then on, she never became Osir. So therefore, they would say she's Mutter. That's what counts for the Chachamim. Aval Hochad Itzar, but here, in the middle of the period when she's a Shemeres Yavam, that she becomes Osir for a while. She was Nafal as Heter, then it became Osir, then she became Osir, then she became Mutter again. Maybe after the Rabbanon mode, you could say that even the Rabbanon agree that in that case she stays Osir. So in that case, you could say that Shmuel and Rav Asi are even going according to the Rabbanon.
Which case would Rabbanon hold that issue between you could
see? No, they wouldn't say if there's an issue between. They would say if the issue happened before she ever became a Shemeres Yavam. Like in our case over here, she got divorced long before Reuven ever died.
Right.
And then he remarried her.
Then they would say it's okay.
To do Yibum. But in our case, we're talking about over here, the case of the three brothers, we're talking about temporarily Rachel became Osir when Shimon died. She became Mutter again when Leah died, but in between, she was there was a time within the period of Shemeres Yavam herself when she was Osir. And therefore, even the Rabbanon would agree then, Shmuel and Rav Asi are saying that they would.
Yeah.
Rav Elazar would say it doesn't matter when the Issur was, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly. Mishnah says, "Hayivama le'tachlitz le'tisyavim ad sheyesh l'shloish chadashim." Yivama should not do chalitza or yibum until 3 months have passed since her husband passed away. Where we talked before about the idea of doing chalitza. We mentioned it briefly in connection with the idea that you don't do yibum within the 3 months. We talked also about that you don't do chalitza when she's pregnant. So here we're talking about even if we know that she's not pregnant, we're going to talk about. You don't do chalitza
within the three months.
Yeah.
So we say anything that goes with Yibum goes with chalitza. So why?
That's the Gemara is going to be discussing.
Okay.
The mission continues. V'chein shar kol anashim. Similarly with all other women, lo yis'arsu v'lo yinasu. They're not allowed to do erusin or marriage ad shiolam shleish chadashim until 3 months pass. Well, I mean, that's a bit of a chiddush. You might have thought, what's the problem with Erusin? They're not living together anyway. There's no possibility of her getting pregnant from a new husband. Okay, but echad b'sulas v'echad b'ulas. The same thing applies whether she's a b'sula or whether she's already had relations. Echad grushas v'echad amonas. Doesn't matter if she's divorced or widowed. Echad nasuras v'echad arusas. Doesn't matter whether she was married or just an arusa. Well, we'll talk about later on in the Gemara. We'll get to tomorrow. That's the Shem. Why all the repetition? Rabbi Yehuda says no. If she was previously married, then she is allowed to do Erusin. Even if she was previously married, if it was only Erusin, she's allowed to be Nisaris to a new husband because there's for sure no possibility she's pregnant. But even if she was married from beforehand, she can do Erusin with her new husband. And then they'll wait for the Nisarin. The Harusis Yinasu, and if she was an Arusa, she can even get married, fully married, and consummate the relationship with her new husband. Chutz min Harusis should be Yehuda, except for an Arusa in Yehuda. in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. Mipnei sheliba gasva, because they're not gas doesn't mean arrogant. Gas liba gas is an expression meaning that they're very comfortable. They're very comfortable together. Like they know each other well. In Yehud, the Gemara explains in Ksubas. That in Yehuda, the Mishnah actually in Ksubas explains that in Yehuda, they would have the chasen and kala do yichud before the chuppah, before knisas and the chuppah, before the nisuin, in order for them to get comfortable with each other this way. When it comes to the be'ilas mitzvah, when it comes to the first to consummating their marriage, they'll be comfortable. They'll be able. They won't be shy around each other. So therefore, there is that once you have that you're doing yichud, there is the concern that maybe after all they went all the way. And therefore, you can't allow. Therefore, in Yehuda, this woman who was previously Nesua, you can't allow her to do even Eruvin, because they might actually end up having relations, or vice versa. If she was an Arusa in Yehuda, you can't allow her now to get married because she might have even during the Eruvin before the Chuppah, she might have already had relations with her fiance. Yeah, actually,
they allowed that
in Yehuda. Obviously, it was allowed since they did it in Yehuda, and the Chum didn't protest. But actually, the Yerushalmi mentions an interesting historical background here. We know there were various times in Jewish history. We know one of them is during the story of Hanukkah. There's another time when the goyim made gzeres called Sula Hanisis Tiboil Lahegman Tchila, that the local goyish warlord or whatever has the right to have the first relations with the woman.
Better off the
So that's exactly what the Yerushalmi says. In order to avoid, in order to get around this problem, they would davka have the Arus and the Arusa be together, and maybe even they would end up having relations in that way. At least the Hegemon the Goyish warlord doesn't get involved over there.
Already?
No, at that point, she's Neshesish as soon as they do Kedushin.
So what's the advantage of making Yehud before you do?
Because this way she's not a psula anymore. This way the Hegman figures already, you know what, I'm too late.
They wanted
psulas. But also like this, you tell them, you know what? You think she's only an Arusa at this point, but no, actually they've already. So no, more than Mekudesh, she's already the Goyim don't know Kedushin versus Nisuin.
No,
but like this, by the time it's a Nisuin anyway, she's yeah. They made a rule at one point. We find the Greeks making it. We find the Yerushalmi mentions it about the Romans that they made this zera. There's a medrash that mentions that actually that's one of the things that led to the uprising of the Hashmonaim, that their sister was getting married. The local Goyish governor was going to enforce this rule against her. She goes and makes a whole to-do in front of her brothers. How are you talking? You're going to allow me to be taken and then violated by this guy? So they pretended that fine, you know what, they did a whole play act. Fine, you know what, we'll take her over there to bring her to the Hegemon, and then while they're there already, they pulled out the swords and then killed him.
And that
sparked off the uprising, yeah.
Scary one.
Yeah. But the Gemara in the beginning of Ksubas mentions that, for example, that's why originally you had the Takana Psula Nisas the Emiravi, as it says in the first mission in Ksubas, but later on they changed that Psulas get married on other days of the week in order that the Goyim don't realize what's going on, yeah.
That was just in Yehuda?
Just in Yehuda. So the Yerushalmi finishes off that even after the Gzeira was bottled, nevertheless the Minhag persisted. Rabbi Yossi, remember? Kol nashim yisa'asu chutz min almana. Rabbi Yossi says any woman can do erusin during the 90 days, during the 3 months. Chutz min almana, except for unless the woman is an almana, mipnei she ibul, because she's an avelus for her husband. For her husband. The avelus doesn't last for 3 months.
No,
I mean, once she's also at the beginning, then he says that you continue making her also throughout that period.
Even today.
So the halacha is today that you have to wait 3 months. We'll talk about it as we go through the Gemara. We'll talk about how this works out nowadays. So I can understand why they're saying a woman shouldn't do yibum during the 3 months. Because we said before in the first Mishnah of the Perek that the child might end up being a ben kayama. He might be a viable child. And then it turns out this new husband, the yavam, has actually been over on an issa d'oraisa of eishes achiz. el latach latamai, but why shouldn't you do chalitza? Lema tevit, you have to do Rabbi Yochanan, dama chalitza is moberet shema chalitza. L'chora, this is a clear stira to Rabbi Yochanan, who said that if you do chalitza with a pregnant woman, it still counts as a valid chalitza. L'chora, our Mishnah is saying don't do chalitza during 3 months because she might be pregnant. According to Rabbi Yochanan, what's the problem? It's still a good chalitza. We learned at the beginning of the parak. We had a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish on this topic. The question is, so what? The Gemara says, "V'lav mi esvina the Rabbi Yochanan chada zimna." Okay, what do you need an upslug from our Mishnah? We already slugged him up from a braisa. We had a braisa there on Daf Lamed Vav that we showed, not like him. The answer is okay.
That doesn't work. That
chalitzas more better is lo shma chalitza. We already proved that we already proved that halacha is not like Rabbi Yochanan.
Is it
a chalitza? Therefore it's not a good chalitza. If the woman is pregnant, right? So we had on Lamed Vav an upslog of Rabbi Yochanan. What do we have over there? I can't find it at the moment, but we did. We went through, we found a braisa over there that showed that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yochanan. So what do we need? What do we need to slog it up from our Mishnah for? We already have it slogged up. The answer is okay. Lema mehel nami tev it's yupta, fine. Can you say that you have a yupta from here also? In case you manage to fa'enfer that braisa, then in case you manage to fa'enfer from that braisa, at least you have our Mishnah to also disprove Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says no. Lo hacha hainu taima. And also the thing is, in general, we expect that the Amoraim knew all the Mishnayos. We don't expect them to know all the braisas. So if there's an upslug to the Bechon from a Mishnah, that's a much stronger thing than an upslug from a Braisa. Yeah. Yeah. I think Mar says, Loi, time. The difference is, in our Mishnah, the reason why you're not allowing Chalitza during the 3 months, maybe it would be a good Chalitza, according to Rabbi Yochanan. The reason why we're not allowing it, Shema Yehei Vlad Ben Kayama, because if it turns out that the child is viable, which means that the Chalitza was not a Chalitza, V'nim says, Atam Atzuricha Kruz Lekohuna. Then you're going to require that you're going to need an announcement in order for her to marry a Kayin. We know that a Chalitza is also to a Kayin, Midrabanan. Like this, Beis Din is going to have to make an announcement that, you know what, it turns out the chalitza was made under mistaken premises. She's not really, she can still marry a kohen. So what? What's the problem with needing an announcement? And the answer is, we had this before. You could have somebody who was there at the time of the chalitza and does not hear the announcement afterwards. And then they're going to think she's possible. Well, before we said that people are going to think that she's a chalitza who's mutter to that a chalitza is mutter to a kohen. Here the Gemara is saying a different tack on it. People might think that she is possible the kohuna when really she's not.
Do you give her a star when that happens?
They could, I guess, but the difference is, in those days they gave a woman a star, a get chalitza when they did chalitza. We learned that on Dachmem. We learned part of the nusach of it.
Oh, yeah.
But nevertheless, though, in this case where it turns out that the chalitza is wrong, how are people going to know that they're...
Exactly, yeah. So that's what I'm asking. My question is, how are you going to know so the Beit Din should give her the document saying that the chalitza was not a chalitza?
But that's they can make the announcement, same thing. That's still, you know, the point is, people may not realize. Okay, the Gemara, Tenach Almona. Fine, I can understand why if she's an Almona that you don't want someone else to marry her. Grusha Ma'ik Lamemer. So what's the problem? This would work if she's only an Almona. So she was the only man she was ever married to was Reuven, let's say. Now he died. Shimon, we say, is doing chalitza with her. Turns out she had a baby. We're saying the chalitza is no good. Really, she should be kosher to a kohen, and except that you'd have to do this business with a kruz, which we don't want to do. What about if before she ever married Reuven, she was married to somebody else and divorced? She's already puzzled to kohen in any way because she's a grusha. So why don't we allow her to do chalitza then during the 3 months? The answer is, because, so what's going to happen? She's going to end up having a baby?
Well,
so
we don't allow her to do
chalitza during the 3 months. What could be the potential problem?
She cannot do it with a kohen.
No, she can't marry. She can never marry a kohen anyway. She's a grusha, right? The answer is, Mishum Demasid Lama Zionist, because what's going to happen if she does Chalitza during the 3 months, she's going to end up losing her support from her first husband's estate. In other words, it's not really she's also, according to this point, we're not done with the discussion yet, but at this point, the Gemara is saying it's not that he's also to do Chalitza during the 3 months. It's not a good idea for her to, because then she's, and then, yeah. Okay, then that makes sense.
Why is she losing?
Because what happens is during the 3 months we're going to talk about soon, that during the first 3 months after her husband dies, since she can't do chalitza or yibum anyway, she's still entitled to be supported from his estate.
Okay.
After that, no. But if she does chalitza, then she's going to then immediately it gets cut off.
But even if you don't do chalitza, why would she be cut off from after 3 months? If child here gets from the estate.
The child, eventually, when he's born, he will inherit the estate. What about her?
She doesn't get anything from her husband?
Not specifically.
Not
after chalitza, no.
No, but
it's
not chalitza. There's no chalitza.
But if she did chalitza, and it turns out, let's say she didn't have a child, but
yeah,
doing...
Then she's cut off, I understand.
Yeah, she's cut off.
So if she does chalitza, and she goes to a full pregnancy, then she gets supported?
No, not necessarily still, because maybe. The Gemara discusses in Ksubas, actually, this whole business of her being supported after her husband dies is one of the Tnai Ksuba. It's one of the Tnaim of the Ksuba. Normally, the Gemara discusses, the idea is that when she's not a Yavama, when she's not a Shemeres Yavam, then maybe she can be supported as long as she's an Almana. Actually, yeah, that's the Tanai Ksuba, is that, yeah, she's entitled to be supported as long as she's an Almana, because she can argue, you know why I'm not remarrying? Because of the covet of my husband. I can't find anybody who's as great as him, basically. Mashenkin over here, where there's a matter of Yibum or Chalitza involved, and that doesn't necessarily follow. She's also for the 3 months. She can't do anything for the 3 months, therefore she's entitled, but after that,
so if we said a chalitza during the 3 months is not a chalitza, how can we say...
No, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not a chalitza. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it is a chalitza. But we're saying, forget about that. We're saying, suppose that it's within 3 months. Let's say for whatever reason, let's say, first of all, within the 3 months she may not be pregnant. It may turn out afterwards that she wasn't pregnant. What's the reason we're saying, because maybe she will turn out to be pregnant and maybe it'll be a ben kayama. But if she was grusha from beforehand, then she's also to a kohen anyway. There's no problem of announcements. So let her do the chalitza. If it turns out the chalitza is a good chalitza, then fine. If it turns out that the chalitza wasn't necessary because she has a ben kayama, what's the problem?
What does she need chalitza at that point? She was an almana and then she married it.
No, the other way around. She was a grusha and then she married the brother who died. So now she's an almana. On top of being previous, she was married to Bezalel and he died. Then she married Reuven. Not he died, but Saul divorced her.
Okay.
Then she married Reuven, who died, and now she's up for Yibum to Shimon. But instead of doing Yibum, Shimon does Chalitza. Just on the ground that she was married to Bezalel, who divorced her, she's also to a Kayani. So now, what are you telling me? Because of the Chalitza, you might turn out the Chalitza was done under mistaken premises, and you're going to mistakenly think she's also to a Kayani. She's already also to a Kayani.
She loses her support, yeah.
But according to the Dea that says that Chalitza is not valid during the 3 months, it's not considered Chalitza. Why should she lose her support?
That's what we're asking over here. If it's it's not. Nobody's saying that Chalitza during the 3 months is no good. They're saying Chalitza when she's pregnant is no good. The question is, why are we making a gzera across the board that a Yavama should not do Chalitza during the 3 months? If we don't know that she's pregnant, and she's already a grusha from beforehand, what would be the problem?
Only if we know or we don't know that she's...
Well, whatever. Again, no. The point is, either way, if she ends up not having a baby, fine. They'll do chalitza again afterwards if they have to. If it turns out she has a baby, then chalitza was never needed. But what are you losing out by doing it during the 3 months?
Yes,
and the answer is she's losing.
Let's
do it again. Okay, fine.
It's embarrassing to go.
That's not a major thing. And besides, again, you could be talking about what if she's not, what if we know she's not, what if we know she's not pregnant, but nevertheless, we're saying, yeah. Okay, the Gemara asks, Tenach Nesua, fine, then that works if she was married to the first brother. Adrusa Grusha Maikla Meima. What if, first of all, she was divorced from beforehand, and second of all, now she was only Arusa to Reuven, she was never Nesua, which in that case, then, the Tshnoi Ksuba are not yet Chal, including the fact that she's supported after her husband's death, and there's no, right, so what's the problem then? Ela mishum de Rabbi Yossi. So no, the reason is because as we find the story of Rabbi Yossi, the Tanya, ma'isa ba'adam echad shabal lefnei Rabbi Yossi, a person comes to Rabbi Yossi, amalei ma'u lachlos v'seth gimel, he asks him, can you do chalitza within the 3 months? Amalei le'taklet. So Rabbi Yossi tells him, no, you can't. The man asks him, v'taklet, so ma'abakach, why not do chalitza? What's the problem? Kara olav mikra zeh. So not all the logic that we were talking about, that she might be pregnant, even she might not. Rabbi Yossi said, look, there's a pasuk that says, im lo yachvot, if the yavam does not want to do yibum, then you go for chalitza, which implies ha'im chafet yibim, but if ha'im chafet yavam, but if the yavam wants, then he could, but in this case he can't. Kala oyle le yibum oyle la chalitza chola, because the general rule is only when yibum is possible is chalitza also possible, and when not, then not. In this case, yibum is not possible during the 3 months, therefore, neither is chalitza. Well, the only thing is, Mefarshim have a bit of a time with this, because this whole thing that we're talking about, the 3 months, is it deraisa or derabanan? On Membeis Amar Aleph, the Gemara is going to bring a pasuk that talks about this business of the 3 months. The question is it an actual drosha from the pasuk, and then the 3 month thing of not doing yibum during the 3 months is deraisa, or is it derabanan and it's only nesmachta? If it's drabanan, then this whole business of kola olu yibum bailo chalitza doesn't really follow. We had many cases already where you can't do yibum where you do chalitza. So then you would have to say that he's also using it as an asmachta. Rashi explains a little bit differently. Rashi says the vort is that in all those cases we say that you can't do yibum because of something with drabanan and therefore you do chalitza. Fine. Even though really we should apply this rule, we don't, because if we did that, she'd be stuck. She'd be an aguna. In this case, she's not stuck. Wait until after the 3 months and then do it. Masir Rav Chanina, Hasfekes Choltes V'loi Mesiabnois. We learned that the Braith says, the Sfekes do Chalitza, not Yibum. And we have to ask, my Sfekes, what kind of Sfekes are we talking about? Elam a Sofik Kedushin, if it's, you're talking about, they did it as a Sofik, whether the Kedushin was Chal, like we had earlier, for example, the kid we had in the previous part of the case, for example, we threw the Kedushin, and we have different Adim saying that it landed on one side versus the other. Then why can't they do Yibum? They should be able to do Yibum and there's no problem. Either way, if she's his Yibama, then it's a good Yibum. And if not, then he's allowed to marry her. She's Stama a woman. She's Stama an unrelated woman. Ela lav Suffolk. Lachora, what kind of Suffolk are we talking about? Shekidish achas mishtei achoyis. That he was, suppose you have a person who was Mekadish, one of two sisters. The any day is man Kiddush. He doesn't know which one he was Mekadish. Vekotani chalitzes. And it says that you do chalitza, even though you can't do Yibum over there because she might be Eish Zachiv. So you see, there's a case where you do chalitza, even though you can't do Yibum.
And the girls that delivered the twins, they don't know who it was.
We learned in the previous paragraph there was a case where you could have a case over there, for example. No, you can have a case, for example, where a man goes over to another man and says, I want to be Mekadish, one of your two daughters, without specifying which one. And both of them are Ktanis, so Nairis, so he's allowed, so the father has the right to be Mekadish them, to accept the Kedushin on their behalf, but he never specified which one. So we see that there's a case where you have to do Chalitza, even though you can't do Yibum. You have to do Chalitza on both, right. Well, that's Hachi Hashta. Well, how could you compare the two cases? We have gone a little long. We'll go a couple more lines and then we'll. Hachi Hashta. How could you compare the two cases? Hasim im Yavei Eliyahu Yamadaha Kiddush Bas Chalitza V'Yibum. In that case, if we had Eliyahu Hanavi to come and say that he actually was the Kaddish, the one, then fine. She would be able to do Chalitza. You would be able to do Yibum. You could also have, by the way, actually, when we talked about this case of Suffolk with two sisters, actually, we said it can't be talking about a case like I was talking about, because then you have a machloikus about that. We had a machloikus Abaya and Rava that's discussed in Kedushin called Kedushin Shle Nimsirul Bia. If you have a Kedushin that's never able to come to Bia, because in this case, to begin with, it was a Suffolk Kedushin, and according to Abaya, the Kedushin is Bechal Machal and that's Mahalocha. So, rather the case.
Again?
No, so you don't have to, because the Kedushin weren't Chal. Now, what we're talking about over here, rather the Suffolk Kedushin with the two sisters, is he was Mekadish, one of them, and then everybody lost track of which one it was.
They can't ask the women which.
They themselves forgot also, let's say.
So the Kedushin was good.
The Kedushin at one point was good, and then everybody got mixed up. So now, if Eliyahu Navi were to come and say, you know what, I recorded the thing at the time, let's run the video, you can see you were Mekadish Rachel. Well, then good. Then
you can imagine totally waiting for Yol now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So then he'd say you were Makadashur and good, but Chalitza v'Yibum. Then if you could do Chalitza, you could do Yibum, everything would be normal. Here, if Eliyahu and Navi comes and says that she was, that she's not pregnant, would we pay attention to him? And we would be miyavim her. We see that not. Hoktana the lafasa iaburihi, v'afi lo achitz ruch la'amzim gimel chadashim. We see, for example, the case of Ktana, because we see, for example, that even in the case of Ktana, where we know for a fact she's not pregnant either, because Ktana is not going to become pregnant, nevertheless, we still say you have to wait 3 months. So therefore, we see that it's one of those cases of loy plug. The Chachamim don't draw distinctions over there. They made 3 months, it's 3 months always. So therefore, yes, the general rule is that kol ha'olo yibum olo chalitza. Since you're not able to do yibum during the 3 months, which again maybe it's the raisa, maybe it's the rabbanon, then therefore automatically for that reason alone you can't do chalitza during the 3 months, even if there's no possibility that she's pregnant, even if there's no issue of mezonos, even if there's no issue of passing her kahuna, nothing of that. But
parallel.
That's it. You can't do it within the 3 months.
So parallel.
Yeah.
Yibum and chalitza.
Yeah. Should we stop over here?
Yeah.